This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Doing the numbers, big numbers on identity theft.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We'd already been warned that a lot of credit card numbers had been leaking out of the big discount retail company TJX. Now we know just how massive this breach of financial data has been. The parent company of TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and other retailers has revealed that information from at least 45 million credit and debit cards was stolen over an 18-month period. The news comes in the first detailed regulatory filing on the matter. TJX also says another 455,000 customers who return merchandise without receipts had their personal data stolen, including driver's license numbers. The big subprime mortgage lender New Century Financial has inched closer to bankruptcy. The company announced that it's no longer doing business with Freddie Mac, the country's second biggest provider of money for home loans. New Century has also entered into agreements with several state legislatures to stop making loans. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler takes a look at where that leaves consumers.
If you got your mortgage through New Century, chances are your loan has already been sold to someone else. Such lenders often profit off the fees collected for originating the loan, then pass it off like a hot potato before the borrower has a chance to default.
The hot potato can be very profitable, and if you can pass it off to someone else, so much the better. That's exactly what's happened in the subprime lending industry.
That's Norma Garcia, an attorney with Consumers Union. She advocates a simple solution.
The lenders must determine that the borrower has the ability to repay the loan. I know it sounds silly, but I can tell you that in my work in different state legislatures, we've had members of the lending industry fight against such a proposal.
Garcia also proposes expanding existing laws to protect more borrowers. Next month, federal bank regulators will consider Wall Street's culpability in the mortgage mess. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
China wants a new dialogue with Washington on trade disputes between the two countries. A spokesman for the foreign ministry in Beijing says both sides need to take the principle of mutual respect to enhance communication rather than adding pressure to solve the problems. On the other hand, pressure is just what the Chinese will be getting in Washington today. A congressional hearing is going to examine the steady rise of China's defense budget. Some experts are accusing China of an aggressive military buildup that's leading to instability in the entire region. Beijing, however, insists that its military policy is defensive in nature. Ruth Kirchner has more from the Chinese capital.
Officially, China's military budget is going to rise by almost 18% this year to $45 billion U.S. dollars. But Robert Carniol of Jane's Defense Weekly says the actual numbers could be twice as high. Nobody knows for sure.
The Chinese lack transparency in what they're doing, why they're doing it, what kind of schedule they're working on.
Carniol says despite the secrecy, it's clear that China has been working for years on modernizing its outdated equipment.
The secret defense budget is generally thought to go to areas like purchase of military equipment, that is ships and submarines and airplanes and things like that, to military research and development programs, that kind of heavyweight stuff.
He thinks Beijing's ultimate goal is to be the dominant power in East Asia. But China still lags years, if not decades, behind the U.S. in military technology. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirschner for Marketplace.
The gloom stretched from Ben Bernanke's appearance on Capitol Hill all the way to Wall Street yesterday. The Dow closed down 96 to 12,300. The Nasdaq closed down 20 to 2417. And the S&P closed down 11 to 1417. This morning, stock futures are indicating an opening on the upside.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
You don't have to be a student of golf to have heard of Tiger Woods and to know he is the king of the sport right now. But a new marketing survey shows that when it comes to helping to sell certain products, he's likely to be at the top for some time to come. The executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute, David Carter, joins us to talk about this different kind of athletic ranking put together by Sports Business Daily. So just what is it that makes a sports star a good salesman?
Well, I think a lot of it is somewhat intuitive when you think about, do these guys have charisma? Are they personable? Can they convey a marketing message? And I think when you do that and you look at it just sort of subjectively, you've got to believe Tiger Woods is going to be at the top of just about every list. He is now, and for the foreseeable future, is going to be the gold standard.
What does this tell us about how or why certain athletes are more effective than others in marketing?
One of the things that we've learned lately is that signing an athlete to an endorsement deal is no longer just a transaction. It's no longer just a business relationship. It's really a marketing partnership. And this is coming at a time when I think you see a lot of corporations and their shareholders are risk averse. And again, at a time when we've seen a lot of athletes run afoul of the law. And if you go down this list, one of the things we find is that character seems to count. And perhaps you could say character finally seems to count. Kobe Bryant finished tied for 10th on the list, and he was the only one on that list that you would not consider to be your traditional clean-cut guy.
What is it about golf, by the way, that seems to make those athletes more salespeople?
I think when you take a look at individual sports like golf, where these players are right in front of you, they're not encumbered by uniforms, by helmets and things like that, their facial expressions. Many people play golf, but not many play football. There may be some relatability factors there. So I think you add some of those up, and you have a handful of golfers that can actually make a great living endorsing products.
When you compare it to the actual salaries of these athletes, how much more money do they make if they've got this marketing moxie?
Well, I think the marketing moxie ends up allowing them to maybe make as much as $8 to $10 in endorsements for every dollar that they make playing or perfecting their craft on the field or on the court. And I think with athletes like Tiger Woods and some of the others that are on this list at a high level, you may be able to make the argument that they continue to play their sport in an effort to continue their marketing careers.
David Carter, the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute, thank you.
Thank you.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We appreciate you making us part of your morning.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.